Father, we praise you and thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here. We acknowledge, Father God, that the Holy Spirit is the teacher who leads us into all truth. And Father, we invite him to pour upon our hearts and our lives understanding, to pour upon our hearts and our lives a revelation, so that we could understand how to pray as Jesus taught his disciples. We thank you, Father God, that you would desire for us to move into that realm, into the depth that you have designed for your people. And Father, we thank you that tonight you're going to teach us to move in that realm of the Spirit beyond our understanding, to move into that realm of creativity in the spiritual realm, and that we will yield to the Spirit that is within us to allow him to perfect the will of God on the planet Earth. And we promise, Father, to always give you the glory, the worship, and the honor for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at prayer in the Spirit, we want to first look at 1 Corinthians 14 and then compare it to Isaiah chapter 28. And prayer in the Spirit, as we understand, is prayer in tongues, according to Paul's definition in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. If I pray in an unknown tongue, and my spirit prayer and my understanding is unfruitful. So we realize that prayer in tongues and prayer in the Spirit are used synonymously in Paul's writings. And the thing about praying in the Spirit is that we have to define some things. Like, for example, praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues unto God, as you say, is different from the gift of various kind of tongues that is listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Various kind of tongues is a message from God through a vessel to the congregation. Therefore, Paul tells about interpretation, because it's God speaking to the body. And it comes in a tongue and it requires an interpretation. Whereas speaking in tongues is we speaking unto God. You notice the direction is different. If the direction is from God to us, it needs interpretation. But if it's from us speaking unto God, it does not need interpretation at all, unless we are going to move into the prayer of agreement or other aspects of prayer, like the prayer of faith, where we need to be able to agree in order to pray the prayer of faith corporately. But generally speaking, when you talk about speaking in tongues unto God, we're talking about speaking in the Spirit unto God, where our understanding does not comprehend anything at all. And there's a whole depth to that prayer in the Spirit that we could move into. Let's look at the most basic things in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we will look at the quotation on Isaiah 28. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 21. It says, "In the Lord," as in the book of Isaiah, "it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to these people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, and says the Lord." This quotation is from Isaiah 28, and let's look at Isaiah 28 to see some aspects about tongues. Paul used this passage for tongues, and so it will be scriptural for us to examine it in the light of speaking in tongues. Isaiah chapter 28. And while you're turning Isaiah 28, we realize that speaking in tongues unto God, and God speaking through a vessel in tongues to the congregation, in quality and in essence, is the same. But the direction and the application is different. For example, if you get healing by the prayer of faith, it would be the same quality kind of healing as you would get by the anointing, by the gifts of healing. And it would still be the power of the Holy Spirit at work, except that there are different channels that it came through. So in quality and in essence, it is the same. But the flow or the direction of it is different. One is the tongues unto God, and one is God speaking to us through a vessel in tongues. And the reason we mention quality and essence the same, because the person who delivers a message in tongues to the congregation under the unction of the Holy Spirit does not know what he is speaking either. And all he has is moving by the gifts of the Spirit. It takes another gift, the interpretation of tongues, to bring it to our understanding. So a person speaking it is still does not understand what he says. It's this outflow of the Spirit through the person's life. And a quality in the essence, the actual mechanics of it looks the same, but the application is different. Alright, I believe you found Isaiah 28 by now. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. Again, if I speak too fast, or my accent is a bit different, then just remind me to slow down and wave, dance, jump, or something. Praise God. Chapter 28, verse 11 and verse 12, same scripture, quoted in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear." Now verse 11 is interesting to me, for it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue." And being a charismatic move for some time, I have always paid an interest to people's tongues. And not that I understand those tongues, but I am very interested and curious to understand what the Holy Spirit is doing in a life. And God began to show me that sometimes when a person receives a baptism in the Spirit, that their tongues that they began with are stammering lips. Now we all know that stammering lips are lips that quivering, or what do you call it here? You know, they cannot speak properly. Stammering, they cannot speak properly. And so sometimes when a person is baptized in the Spirit, not all the time, but there are times when a person is baptized in the Spirit and the tongue that comes forth from their life at first sounds, for example, it goes like, and you ever seen anybody that way? That was not a train, alright? So there are all kinds of experiences, and you wonder, is that from God or is that not from God? And some of us, when we started speaking in tongues, perhaps all you got is a lama 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 lama, and you get all kinds of tongues. And we have overnight prayers every Friday night. We pray in the night time, and sometimes at night you hear all kinds of tongues. And sometimes there's a person praying in one corner, and you know, you get, and we call that the washing machine tongue. And so there's all kinds of tongues. And so the curious part about it is, why is it that way? And I sought God. I say, God, can I help these people? I mean, what happened is, or should I help? And say, Lord, what about these people who come, and some of them come and say, I want to join the overnight prayer, but I have only about 3 words. Say, what are they? Say, la ba la. Right. So they come and they say, you mean the whole night I'm going to pray? La ba la ba la ba la ba la ba la ba la. And how do I take off? And so the Lord began to show that sometimes, for whatever reasons, usually I have tied more to the intellectual control. See, sometimes we find it very hard to let go. And so when a person starts in tongues, that they have those few words, and there is a stage. You notice in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, it talks about 2 stages of tongues. One is stammering lips, and the other is other tongues. And God began to show me that sometimes when a person starts, not all the time, sometimes a person just goes straight into beautiful tongues. I cannot give the exact reasons why it happens that way. Just like we cannot explain why some get healed gradually or some instantly. God knows all the stories behind or all the things that He's working in a person's life. But it does happen. that there are some who seem to not move directly into other tongues. I believe the tongues that the Holy Spirit gives is a language. It is not just some noise. It's a pure language that is articulate and clearly enunciated. And so the only explanation I have found for these kind of situations where you get the washing machine tongue, and we do have some choo-choo train tongues too. It goes and we get all kinds of different tongues. And so God began to show that as a person pray and begin to yield more themselves, some of them seem to start at that level. All they do is stammer. It's just that the Holy Spirit wants to come out with a language to their life, but they are not learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit. See, when the Spirit controls our lives, He does not violate our free will. If somebody says that they speak in tongues and they cannot control, there's something wrong. So when the Holy Spirit flows through our lives, He always flows through our free choice, our free will. It's perfectly intact. We can always control. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit pray, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? He says, I will pray. He says, I will. In other words, it's His choice. He is in control. I will pray in the spirit. I will pray in the understanding. I will sing in the spirit. I will sing in the understanding. And so when we examine tongues itself, you know these things about tongues, that it is not so much the Holy Spirit speak out from us, but it is the Holy Spirit giving us the language and we speaking out. So the Holy Spirit does not come upon our lives and grab a hold of our tongue. I'm not going to ask this figure of tongue. And grab a hold of our tongue and shake it. And the sound comes out. And we are just involuntary, you know, speaking those tongues. It's not that way. The Holy Spirit gives the utterance. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, it tells us that the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gives utterance, they spoke forth. And the same way in Acts chapter 10 verse 46, when the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and all his household, they heard them speaking, not the Holy Spirit, but them. They were speaking. The Holy Spirit's word, the Holy Spirit only gives the utterance. He doesn't do the speaking for us. He gives the utterance. We do the speaking. And as we do the speaking, we realize that there is a certain measure of control we have over the tongues. Like, for example, we could speak in tongues very softly or very loudly. We could pray, very softly, or we could pray very loudly. It's within our control. We cannot control the language, but we can control the volume. The volume knob is in your control. You could turn it up and you go, and sound like those 1950s Pentecostals. And so we can control the volume. Just like speaking in English, we could speak loud or soft. We could, but the language comes from the Holy Spirit, the tongue. We could speak in whatever volume. We are in control of that. Another area we have perfect control is what I call the key we speak in tongues in. You could speak in tongues in C major, right? Shakara bahazige, bahara bahazige. Or you could speak in tongues in A flat. Right. You notice that we have perfect control of certain areas. Yet the language comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. But He gives us certain liberty of control. We could speak it loudly, softly. We could speak in a C key or A flat or something like that. There are certain areas that we can control. Added to that, we could speak fast or slow. Just like we could speak English very fast, son. You Australian speaks English very, very fast. And so we could speak at different speeds. And when I was near the charismatic move, I used to pray a lot in tongues, and I noticed that when I pray very fast, I seem to go into the washing machine tongues. And it goes, so I was a bit concerned. And so I saw God about it and said, God, what's happening here? And God began to teach me that the speed also is in our control. We could speak slowly or very fast. We could speak, or we could say, right? The speed is also in our control. Why do we look at all these aspects? Because when we look at praying in the Spirit, we have to understand what areas we can control, what areas we can flow in with control. And as we look at praying in the Spirit, there seems to be a law that governs all the various aspects of prayer, and I call it the 1 hour factor. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. And Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he came to his disciples in verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit in it is willing, and but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." He came and he found them asleep in the same situation. And then in verse 45, he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand." So it was too late. "And the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, he who betrays me is at hand." Now, there are some things that are too late to pray. And we cannot wait until something happens and start praying. It is too late. There are some situations. And here Jesus came to his disciples and he asked them, finding them asleep. And remember that we cannot measure God's presence or the tangibility of the Holy Spirit by just our physical factor. We measure it more by the spirit man. The spirit is willing. Here, the presence of God was strong. We understand that this is the most glorious part that Christians have extolled about the passion of Christ in Gethsemane and all that he went through. The glory of God was being manifest, and when he prayed, the angels appeared. And his sweat dropped as great drops of blood to the ground. And this was God's glory moving in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the midst of all this glory, the disciples were sleepy. They were sleepy. We cannot measure the spiritual level of a meeting by our sleepiness. This is not the first incident. There was another incident in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And just for reference, let's look at that in Luke chapter 9. This is the transfiguration on the Mount of Olives. And in verse 31 and 32, Jesus was transfigured, and Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But in verse 32, it says, "But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep." The glory of God was being manifested, and they were sleeping. You cannot measure the presence of God by your physical body. And you cannot measure whether God wants you to pray or not by your physical body. There's no way. Sometimes you may say, "I feel sleepy," but the Spirit of God wants to pray. And you have to pray. You have to pray through. And so we cannot go by the physical factor. We have to go by the Spirit within us. There are many times when it's necessary to pray and the body is sleepy. So sometimes people think, if God wants me to pray, He will keep me awake. Sometimes He does, by His grace. Sometimes He wants us to walk by faith, not by our feelings. You just got to pray through. So we cannot measure by our sleepiness. But the interesting thing is Matthew 26. Jesus said to them that no doubt their spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, but He asked them and He said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. And I always wonder about that. Then I began to realize that when we go into prayer, especially praying in the Spirit, the first hour is very essential. It seems like if you could break the 1 hour factor, it becomes easier to pray on. And that 1 hour seems to be what I call the break-even point of the Spirit over the flesh. Where, for example, as you begin to pray, you don't feel like it. But as you choose to pray, and you continue to pray, and you pray in the Spirit, at first, it's not easy. But you reach a point when that 1 hour is reached, and there seems to be an ease that comes. An ease that comes. It's called, what I call it, the 1 hour factor. And I'm sure Jesus didn't just want them to pray 1 hour, but He seems to know that if they reach that 1 hour, some breakthrough would have come into their lives, and they didn't even make it for that 1 hour. So 1 hour seems to be a break-even point. When you go to business, you have a break-even point. When you go into a project, you have a break-even point. When you organize a seminar, you have a break-even point among a number of delegates before it break even, and the rest is the profits. So everything has a break-even point. And so in the spiritual realm, that 1 hour factor, praying, seems to be a break-even point if you could go 1 hour. 1 hour. And during that 1 hour, it seems essential. It seems to overcome some things in our physical body. And it seems to reach a certain level where we could easily go on, everyone. 1 hour praying in the Spirit. And that's our recommendation to people, 1 hour praying in the Spirit. And in the early days of the Charismatic Revival, we were very interested in what praying in the Spirit would do. So when we realized the benefits of praying in the Spirit, like praying in the Spirit, we saw in Isaiah 28, verse 12, it enters into the rest, etc. And praying in the Spirit, we pray in the perfect will of God, and it's beyond the realm of our understanding. And being on the intellectual side, at first, my intellect doesn't want to give way. I mean, why should I pray so long for something that I don't understand? Until I realized that, to be fair to the Scriptures, I must obey first, and then the understanding comes. And if it's scriptural, I must obey, and see, and I must prove it. And so I said, well, it wouldn't be fair for me to make a judgment unless I have obeyed and experimented and gone into that. So I make it a point to pray, and I find that 1 hour factor is truly real. When we pray an hour, there seems to be a point reached that seems to make it easier for you to move on into the spirit realm. A 1 hour factor, praying in the Spirit. And when we reach 1 hour, we said, well, I wonder what happens if we pray longer. So we went on longer, and we prayed and prayed and prayed in the Spirit. That's just purely in tongues. And after about 8 to 9 hours, something happened to my mind. Something happened. It was experiential. I will describe the experience first before we look at the Scriptures. It felt like when I started praying, my mind has all kinds of things coming. All kinds of things, this and that, all kinds of things. The mind is still noisy. And As I continued praying and praying, there was a stage that I reached, and suddenly the mind goes very quiet. So I was wondering, what happened? Have I lost my mind? Why so quiet before so noisy? And said, what's happening? And then I felt it. I felt God's presence tangibly. I said, Lord, this is so nice. What have I reached? What plane is this? And am I still on the earth? And there was this experience, and I searched myself. I said, I want to know what the scripture says about this. Every experience must be scriptural. And I went back to the scriptures. And as I read the scriptures and examined this praying in the spirit, and that was when I saw Isaiah 28 verse 12. And I realized that verse 11 and verse 12 are connected. And verse 12 talks about the refreshing and the rest. The rest. And the Holy Spirit began saying, this is the rest. I said, Lord, it's so wonderful. And during that stage, it is so easy to hear God's voice. All you would have to do is whisper, and it will cause vibrations within your very being, like thunder. What a wonderful stage. And so we began to share this truth with others, and others started praying to reach that state. And I observed what they do to reach a conclusion. And so some of them prayed, and they said, I prayed for 8 hours, why didn't it come? I said, I don't know, you pray longer? I said, how long until it comes? And so they prayed on. And some of them, when they prayed, it took 14 hours when they reached that stage. For whatever reasons, as each one of us are different, personalities different, backgrounds different, and walk with God different, for whatever differences there are, it seems to cause a difference in the time factor. That if we could reach it the first time, if you pray, for some people, you know, God bless their little hearts. They prayed for nearly 20 hours. They're going to give up. Say, my throat is dry. And I say, one more hour won't hurt. So you got to gone 20. It's gone a little bit further. And so at the 21st hour, they broke through. And I don't know about you, but there are differences I found. But some people got it at 6 hours. It's an encouragement. This is what we found. When we pray in the spirit for until we reach that stage, at first it may take 8 hours, 9 hours, or 14 hours. But as you're used to that plane, you understand that realm, it may take you shorter and shorter time to reach it. At first it takes you 9 hours. Then later it takes you 6 hours. Then it takes you 5 hours. Then it takes only 2 hours. And under you understand that realm of God, the rest in God, experientially, and it may just take you an hour or even half an hour just to move into that. So that seems to be another factor that influence this realm of the spirit. And so, reaching that realm, I realized God's presence became tangible, and it's so easy to hear God's voice at that realm. And I was surprised when we went about sharing this kind of practical truths that we have experienced, and that there are very few Christians who even pray more than an hour in tongues. And it's just like God giving us a fantastic weapon, and we just put it and take a look at it for 5 minutes a day, and we haven't take that weapon and learn to polish it and use it. And what a tremendous weapon he has given. And many people who are baptized in the Spirit, they hardly pray in tongues. The only time sometimes they pray in tongues is they come to the church and a charismatic church, and they sing in the spirit for about 30 seconds, you go, oh, no, 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 that's all. And the rest of the time, that tongues is dormant in their life. So praying in tongues seems to be an important key to break into the spirit realm. Paul says that it edifies. It edifies yourself. When you are edified, you could come to the church and edify others. So important to move into the realm of praying in tongues, speaking unto God. And out of curiosity, I wanted to find out what will happen if I prayed longer. So there was once when I went for a full stretch and prayed 48 hours in tongues. That was marathon race. And at the end of that time, I was not sure I was in the spirit or in the body. And when I look up with my physical eyes, it seems as if I'm seeing the spiritual world at the same time. It's a very queer experience. Never experienced anything like that. And when I look out, I seem to see people's spirit. And then when I look out at the world around, if there's a demon present, I seem to see the demon walking about. I say, Lord, what is this? Is it I'm getting too sleepy? 48 hours non-stop, no sleep. And but there was a realm which my experience and move into, which I said, this is tremendous. What a tremendous weapon God has given, and that the body of Christ could tap into. And so experiment with it. Move into that realm and pray in the spirit. And there are different areas of moving and praying in the spirit. There's one which I would call you're just at the level of stammering lips, and you're just building up. So that's where sometimes many people start off with. You're just with the stammering lips, and you're just moving into that realm. But as you move more and more into that realm of the spirit, with whatever God has given you, you find you move into a place where even your tongue seems to change. So at the first level, I would classify some people bypass that first level. But I want to put it in because there are those who experience that. At the first level, as they move into praying in the spirit, all they have is that stammering lips kind of tongue. It goes, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And you can be quite irritating if you sit next to them the whole night. And ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You wish you didn't hammer or something. And thank God that in the church we got this overnight prayer where they could just pray through. And we switch off the lights and all is dark and nobody sees each other. And so unless you recognize the voice, you wouldn't know who he was. And so not everybody is just praying. But since it's overnight prayer, once in a while you get one kind of tongue that goes. And you know that's not a new tongue. but there were those who start at this first level. And it can be quite embarrassing, right? When we share this, we laugh at it. But let me tell you, it can be quite embarrassing. And I'm very shy. You say, yeah, how can the preacher laugh at me? My tongue like to sit there. And you wouldn't want to pray anymore. And but it's a stage we go through. That as you continue in it, and if you pray into it, you seem to reach a second stage where you actually experience what I call the language. Isaiah 28 verse 11, the second part. The language. You really begin to understand that language. Language that just flows out from you. And your tongue is a full-fledged language. It's vocabulary, inflections, and all the things that are involved in a language. Your mind doesn't understand it, but it flows as a real language coming out from you. So you reach that, what I call that second level. And that first level, stammering lips, almost, although there's no scripture reference for it, but almost like, except for the word stammering lips, that's all you can find, stammering lips. And it's almost like someone who is learning English language, a baby learning to talk, ba, 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 ba. What do your baby say here? Da, da. In Asia, they call, papa. Here they call da-da. So, almost learning to speak. And And we see in those little kids in the natural, we see them in the natural, they're learning to talk, and sometimes they say some words that we don't quite understand because their pronunciation is different. And so they seem to be that level. Now, not everybody goes through all these steps one by one. Sometimes we bypass it for whatever reason. But yet we got to place it there to help those who sometimes are at this level, to help them deeper. And then at the second level is what we call the language coming forth. You really begin to sense it. For example, at the first level, yours could be that Chuchu Train Chai. It goes, and we have a few of those there. And any Chuchu Train here? We will find out tonight. So it's there. And then at the second level, it goes, and you say, hey, is the language coming out now? And say, hey, the train has stopped at the station. Now you're there. And now you could speak in tongues. And that was stammering this, but this is tongues. The pure language coming out with inflections. There's a real language coming out and you speak it. And then there seems to be this that as you move deeper in praying in the Spirit, especially if you pray long hours, sometimes you reach a stage where there are varieties of tongues. Your tongues change when you pray for different things. And by the permission of the Spirit, you know, I believe could illustrate that, I could sense it sometimes flowing. I'm sure it's quite easy to flow into that. And you become quite versatile in allowing the Spirit to flow through you, to let Him flow and easily. And so you move the river language. Like for example, you could just pray in one area in tongues. You could go, is it over us, Iliano over us, in answer. Then sometimes you move to another kind of tongue. Ekika aha laakaniki so all Ilias. Right? And there are many areas of tongues. I move very easily because we have been praying in tongues for long hours. And I just reach into my spirit and allow the Spirit to speak forth as the Spirit of God places the different languages. So there is what I call varieties of tongues that you could move into. If you pray long hours, your tongues can change into another different language altogether. Sometimes it could be the language of men or another race, another tribe on the earth, or it could be a heavenly language, angels language, whatever. But there's a realm that you move into at a third level where it's a variety of tongues. And this is when it really becomes interesting. And we have a few times when people have spoken in an unknown language to them and it was understood by another. But it was a special case where it just occurred in that meeting, and that special language that the person spoke was not the normal tongues that the person spoke. It was just in that situation. And sometimes when people were praying, and we have some one Korean who came, and he said that there was one brother there who was speaking in Korean. But it was one of the overnight prayers, and he was praying to God. And that was, I know that brother very well, and I know their tongues too, what it sounds like. And it was not their normal tongue. It just happened to flow into that when they were deep in praying in the Spirit. And so there's a third level you move into. But there's another level that you could move into, which is progressive. You see, from there, you move up to stage 4 now. And at this stage 4 level, you move into what I call groaning in the Spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. And we read from verse 26 onwards. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I realize that sometimes people have used this phrase to refer to speaking in other tongues. I believe it includes that, but it also includes something else called groaning. See, a groan is not a language. A groan is not a language. A groan is a travail. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19 to the Galatian Christians when they were backsliding into legalism, he said, I travail again for you until Christ be formed in you. So there's a travailing. And groaning is not necessarily something pleasant to hear. Right? When you hear someone groan, go, it's the Australian one. The Malaysian one goes, ayo. And the Japanese one goes, yeah. Or something like that. And a groan is not something pleasant to the ears necessarily. And the same word will be the word travail. And for example, in the natural, you have when women give birth, they sometimes travail. Now with modern medicine, they just give them the anesthetic and there's not much, they don't feel the pain, there's no groaning. But in the early days, women really groan, the pain. And so, you know, you want to hear sometimes what groaning is like, you go to this labor ward outside the door. And you hear, and so we never hear, praise the Lord, we never hear someone groaning with music or something, right? You never hear somebody groan, right? If somebody steps on your toe, you don't go, you don't say, this is a day. Right, nobody groans in harmony or in rhythm or all these melodies. I mean, you just groan. It just comes out from you. And to repeat the fact that it's not necessarily pleasant to the ears, but it's real, it's there. There's a groaning in the spirit. And this, I like to understand what it involves and why it should be groaning in the spirit. And until God began to show me and break it down into parts so that it's easy to comprehend about groaning. It's at stage 4, as I mentioned. For example, if you analyze speaking in tongues, you notice that all it mechanically, this is a mechanical analysis from an outsider's point of view of tongues, that all you experience is the air coming out from your belly, and it comes through your vocal cords, and the air comes through, and of course you choose whether it's C or A flat, and it comes out, and your mouth moves, your tongue wiggles out, and you form the words that you sense inside. You sense that it's going to go in a certain direction and speak certain things. So the air that is inside, this mechanical analysis, right? I know that there's a spiritual realm. Ilios. Now, you sense in your spirit that that was exactly what you're going to say out. And you spoke it out. And so there could be a lot of what I call utterances given into your spirit that need to be released. And so you need to speak it out, word at a time. And words are actually basically just the air coming out from your mouth. Push into certain sound patterns. It's just the air coming out. But it's inside there. And God began to show more of this when as I saw God about groaning in the spirit and how it relates to the other patterns of praying in the spirit, and I began to realize that there are so many different languages in the world. And Jesus' name is being called in many ways. For example, in English you would call Jesus, And some Americans and Australians say, Jesus! Right? And Jesus for us. Jesus for you. And is that an Australian or Queenslander? Right. American. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes, mate. So, it goes, Jesus. And then we have in my dialect, which is Teochew, it goes, Yaso. It goes, Yaso. What? Jesus? And then in the Greek is Jesus. And in the Hebrew is Yeshua. And in Malay is Yesus. Indian also Yesus. And in Mandarin, Yesu. And so you see, all these different pronunciations of the same person's name, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus, Jesus. Now, how is it that Jesus responds to us? Can you imagine if Jesus goes by our pronunciation? And you say, Jesus! And Jesus said, no, you didn't pronounce my name. That's not me you're calling. And how does Jesus respond to us? Does he respond just because of our enunciation of the words? And what about my dialect that goes, Yaso! Right? If I say Yaso, some of you may thought that I'm calling somebody else. But then Jesus' name in my dialect, Yaso! What about Hebrew? Yeshua! Yeshua! Say, is that Jesus or are you calling somebody else? Now how does Jesus know that we are calling him? See, this is what happens when you release those sounds in whatever form. Yaso, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. From your lips, your heart's intention and your desire and all that's within you is reaching out all that's in you. Is consciously reaching out for the one Jesus of Nazareth who died on the cross for you and who was raised up from the dead and who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is the intention behind your call that he also hears. So he understands when someone called Yaso that it is he that was meant. Because he sees that the sounds that come out, the sounds that we speak out are actually from the intention of our heart. It just flows out. And the full meaning is him, Jesus. And so with that understanding, we realize that when the Holy Spirit places utterances in our spirit, and our spirit man speaks it out, he is not just hearing the words. He is hearing the intention of the words. What the words are for, placed inside, and they're coming forth. And, for example, if he placed a certain burden in your spirit to speak out and pray for, and that burden is like something locked in your spirit, and you want to release that burden, it could be a burden in a certain area. You could release it by praying in the spirit. You could pray in the understanding, and sometimes you get a certain lift. But you see sense is there. So you go into pray in the spirit and you pray and you pray and it's released. It's released. It may take you an hour or two and you got it released. And when you enter into what I call the faucet groaning, this is actually what happens. You accelerate the process of the release. So for example, that same burden that's inside, that is there, that you could slowly release it forth in praying the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit leads and guides, and it can come so strong in you that it may take you, for example, 2 hours to release this burden in praying the Spirit. But as you move into that fourth stage, into groaning in the Spirit, in maybe about 10 seconds, and it's gone. The burden is gone. 10 seconds. So groaning in the spirit, if we want to equate for understanding's sake, is like praying in the spirit at a faster speed. It has the same effect. For example, if you live a certain distance from the church here tonight, and you know that if you drive at 40 kilometers an hour, it will take you half an hour to reach the church. But if you drove at 70 kilometers per hour, you know it will take slightly more than half the time. So it depends on the speed you travel and how fast you cover that sector of road. In the same manner, sometimes God places in our spirit different burdens. Now remember, God hears also the intention, not just the sound. And when the spirit allows you to move into groaning, right? Now these things cannot be cooked up. Cannot be cooked up. Don't try onions, please. It must come as the spirit faces it. But we must be aware of it, so that when it does come, we know what to do. That's the other part of it. So there is the first stage where we could start off and it's stammering, and then you got into a language form, and then you learn the varieties of tongues that you can, you just release unto the spirit to let you pray to him with this kind of tongues, and then you move into groaning in the spirit. And you could achieve in a shorter time by groaning in the spirit what may take a long time in praying in the spirit. That's powerful. That's why Paul understood groaning in the spirit. He says a groan that comes forth from me. Groaning in the spirit. It comes forth from inside. Inside. So there are all these stages that we have outlined together. Now, if you look at all the various areas of praying in tongues, whichever stage we are at or in, and we are moving into slowly, we need to know what to do when we are praying in the spirit. Sometimes people have asked and said, when I finish praying in the spirit, must I say in Jesus' name, Amen? There's no necessity, because you're not praying with the understanding. When you're praying in the spirit, it's the spirit's language itself coming out. So your spirit is praying itself, and it's coming forth. And what most people fail to do is they fail to trust the Holy Spirit inside them to pray for them. You could pray in the spirit in different ways, and the application can be different. For example, you could take a prayer item, and that is called what I call directed praying in the spirit. You could take a prayer item, for example, your loved one, or a certain problem in your life, or a certain burden, and you take the item, and you verbalize it in the understanding first, in order to what I call direct the praying in the spirit. And you could say, for example, you're praying for your loved one to be saved. So you could say in the understanding first, Father God, I'm praying for brother so-and-so, and I'm praying for this loved one of mine, and this and me, and I pray, oh God, that you continue to work in their lives, and send your laborers across their path to bear witness to them and touch their heart. And then after you pray in the understanding, you go into praying in the spirit. So it's called directed praying in the spirit, where you direct your praying in the spirit towards a certain objective. And you could pray for some time, because there are many things that you don't know how to cover for. We know not what to pray many times in some areas that only the spirit knows. So the Holy Spirit, we could trust the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us to pray more specifically for certain things and areas that our understanding cannot comprehend yet, but we allow the spirit to cover those areas and pray. That's directed praying in the spirit. It can be any of these four forms, groaning or stammering. There's a direction. Then there's another way of praying in the spirit as you pray, and that is to sometimes we got to have a mixture of all and be led by the spirit, but we must identify each one so that we could know what we are led in. And sometimes You've got certain items to pray, and you want to pray for those areas, but the spirit inside you doesn't seem to want to pray in that area. It seems to place an emphasis in another area. It seems to direct you away from that to pray for other areas. And so sometimes people have tried to direct it all the time. Now, that is not the only way to pray in the spirit, where all you do is directed prayers. You direct your praying in the spirit over something that you understand what it is. And you direct your praying in tongues into this area. And if all you have is that area, you miss a lot of other areas. And so sometimes if you keep on and it becomes a habit with you to just direct into those areas, you could feel like, no, it's no more there. Like you feel that the spirit wants to do something else, but you just consciously keep directing to that area. And that's where there's another area that we could pray in the spirit, and that is sometimes we think that it will take half an hour to cover for that area, but the spirit may cover it in one sentence. Don't underestimate the impact of praying in tongues. So that is the reason why sometimes you want to direct it and it's finished as far as the spirit is concerned. And don't underestimate the impact of praying in the spirit. Another area of praying in the spirit is where you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in areas to pray for. When as you just yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. And as you pray, He will bring to your remembrance things that you're praying about. Now remember, it sometimes takes passing the 1 hour factor. What you receive the first few minutes may just be distraction. But some people have prayed in tongues an hour or so, and they begin to suddenly think about their grandfather, which they never thought about before. And they think that it's a distraction. You know, why am I thinking about that? But they don't understand the Spirit is bringing to their remembrance things they are praying for. See, the Holy Spirit bringing to mind. And sometimes people have prayed much in the Spirit, and they see pictures of people that come before them. They say, why is this thing? Get it behind me, Satan. And you know, the Holy Spirit will softly, gently whisper, it's me, not the devil. So the Holy Spirit sometimes gives us the direction to pray. And you allow Him, He will sort of give you an indication what area He is praying, wanting to pray in. And all you have to do is just give your time to allow Him to pray through you. And He'll pray for different items. That is what I call a directed, different from directed. Here, that is where you direct, and it is applicable. Remember, that is also valid. Certain areas you could do that. But there's another area of praying in the spirit where you just hang loose, and the Holy Spirit just directs you into areas to pray for. And you're directed, and He speaks to you, and you just pray. All you are is just a vessel, and He prays to you in different areas. And by His grace, He gives you an indication many times of what He's praying about. And the third area of this, what I call directional prayer, is where I call the birding prayer, where it's just like you're just covering something over and over again in the spirit. It's just like there's a creative process. I find it very hard to describe this today. It's like a creative process being birthed from you in the spiritual realm. Like, for example, God could have a call and a vision in your life, and to maybe set up a church in a certain town. And many times when that thought or that vision comes to you, you sense the awareness of that burden. See, the Holy Spirit in the book of Genesis chapter 1, before the world was created, He hovered over the earth. He moved. The word English word move is the Hebrew word hover over the earth. And there's something happening, but He is hovering over the earth. And the actual translation is He says fluttering over the earth. And what you do at this third area of directional prayer is where whatever vision, dream, or call or ministry that God has in your life, you are what I call burning it forth by praying in the Spirit. By praying in the Spirit, you're allowing yourself to move into the spirit realm, where your spirit becomes like a womb, and the burning process is beginning. And as you pray, this is what happens. As you pray in the Spirit, in the area, and the burden grows stronger and stronger as you pray it forth. Sometimes details start coming. Details start coming about what to do in those areas. I experienced it many times. When at first all you have is a direction, and you yourself do it, and then the burden comes, and you begin to pray and pray and pray, then more clarity comes. More clarity comes. Now this area we discovered almost by accident in the early days when we were learning to be guided and led by the Spirit. And sometimes we have a thought or an impression, and we're not sure whether it's from the Spirit or not. How do we know? And we discover that if you pray over that thought, if it is from the Holy Spirit, it becomes clearer and more specific. But if it is not from the Holy Spirit, it fades away the more you pray in the Spirit. What an easy way that God has given us. Just to spend more time with Him, it makes it so easy. As we pray in the Spirit. And how we got into that was in the early days of the ministry when we were in Penang, Malaysia. We used to have a certain meeting. There were about seven of us together. We started a sort of mission society, and all of us were in the various parts of ministry. We gathered together, and we used to meet on a certain day of the week. For example, it's at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night, and at a certain house. Like for example, at a certain road, so in Reservoir Gardens. So we know the place, we know the time, we know the day. Then as we move into that, I don't recommend that you do it, right? I'm just sharing something that happened, right? Despite in spite of our fallibility, God's grace was present. And what happened was, we said, right, now we're not going to tell anybody what day the meeting is going to be. And since we all can hear the Holy Spirit, and it's a training process, so if you're led by the Spirit, you know what day that the meeting will be on. And so, if the Spirit tells me that the meeting is on such a day, then He should also tell you. And sometime after we practiced that, I was very fascinated when I read the account in Russia how that happened also. I was very fascinated. But we didn't know anything about Russians and Russian underground Christians. But that was happening, and we were learning. And so what happened was that when we meet together, we know who didn't hear. Of course, some of them cheated and they came every night. Just to be sure. But then we progressed further, and we said, alright, now we're not going to tell you the day, the time, or the place. You must know what is the day we're going to meet, what is the time we're going to meet, and where we are going to meet. It was not easy. And some of them cheated again, even everywhere, every day. But as we learned, then we said, Lord, how could we have a clear indication of your direction? For example, on a certain day, you have an impression that there's a meeting on that day. How do I know that it's not my thoughts? Right? How do I know it's not my thoughts? It is a thought about sin and all that, you know, it's from the devil, but like there's a meeting there. How do you know? Could it be my thoughts? Imagining it? And so we said, Lord, how can we tell? And this is where we found, like for example, if we have the thoughts that the meeting are on such a day, and we pray in tongues, if that was the Holy Spirit, it goes clearer and stronger the more we pray in the Spirit. If the thought is not from the Holy Spirit, the more we pray in the Spirit, the weaker and weaker and weaker it became until it fades off. So that was our experience of it, and from that experience, I have learned to apply in many areas in my life. In the ministry, something called various kinds of ideas. And you have to find out whether those ideas are from God or for ourselves or from men. And so I used to pray in tongues a lot and pray, say, God, I pray with all these ideas. And I only want to do your will, I don't want to do our own ideas. And I noticed that those ideas that come from God, the more you pray, the greater details become. Like, for example, we're in the process of buying land and building a new church building. And it dropped on us that it has to be that size of a land. And then as we pray into it, we have no indication how we're going to approach it, because our government is not like your government. We had to have a way to approach it. If we say anything religious, it was gone. And we had to approach it from the commercial perspective. But what happened was, as we pray into that, the idea came clearer. See, at first it was the land. Then the idea came and said, register a separate organization that is commercial and approach it from there. Then as we pray more, then more details come. See, it didn't fade off. It got stronger and more detailed. And I found that if we could pray in the Spirit a lot in many areas, we could have a very effective means of weeding out our own ideas and concentrating on the ideas that come from God. And if it's from God, the more you pray in the Spirit, the stronger it becomes. If it's not from God, and the more you pray in the Spirit, it fades off until it just disappears. And of course, we close with the fifth stage of praying in the Spirit. At the fifth stage is what I call worship in the Spirit. See, worship in the Spirit is tremendous. And groaning in spirit we have here, but worship in the Spirit is something else. And we realize that Paul was talking about different things here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15. And he says in verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the result then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now he's talking about prayer now. And I will also pray with the understanding. Then he goes on. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he occupy the place of the uninformed say amen? He's talking about interpretation of some areas. Now, the fact is that he mentions singing in the Spirit as different from speaking or praying in the Spirit. So there must be a different degree involved. Just like we know that talking is different from singing. When someone talks to you, right, they just talk in normal tone. If someone sings an admonishment to you, it's different. It has a different effect. And we are told in the Bible too, in a certain way, in Colossians 3 verse 16, to let the word of Christ dwell richly in us, so that you could admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So there's a realm you can do it in the understanding, where sometimes you could give a prophecy in song, or just give it in normal voice, normal speech. Person could say, you know, God says the Lord, He is Almighty, worship Him and fear not. You could give it in that tone. Or you could sing for the prophecy as God allows you. Thus saith the Lord, fear not, fear not. Right? You could sing it forth too if you want. So it's a different aspect. And there is an element of what I call worship in the Spirit. We know not the impact that is there in worship in the Spirit. And what we have done is on our public holidays in the church, we have a 24-hour praise and worship. And the impact is tremendous. But that was mixture of understanding and worship in the Spirit. But what we want to move into more is in one whole stretch during those meetings, we are training the musicians and the worship leaders to lead in singing in the Spirit, pure singing in the Spirit, for about 6 hours. And we want to see what it will be like. So there's a whole realm to move into in the things of God. And so I believe there's an aspect of singing in the Spirit that is tied up to that Hebrew word Tehillah, the high praises of God, where in the book of Psalms you understand that in Psalms 149 it talks about how it binds the enemy. So there is an aspect of singing in the Spirit and worship in the Spirit that we can move even deeper. So we start from there. This is the fifth stage here. The stammering lips, and then language, various kind of tongues, and groaning in the Spirit, and now worship and singing
the rapture has come.
Moving into that singing in the spirit. But we have experienced corporate singing in the spirit for about 2-3 hours. And the atmosphere and the impact is greater. For example, we could create an atmosphere right now by just teaching the word. We create a certain atmosphere. And now when we talk about the word, all these areas are still the word coming through, alright? And so, but there is a different effect when we could minister in the spirit. And we have found this, that worship in the spirit seems to be like a rocket compared to a B-52 plane. So over here, starting off here, on left here, ladies and gentlemen, we have the stammering lips. And that was the first plane invented by the Wright brothers. It goes up and it quickly comes down. And oh, it was great effort. Then you go to the second level, language. It's a real language. Ah, now it's nicer. It's like a small single engine Fokker plane. And but when the strong winds come, you got to quickly land. It cannot take the velocity of the wind that much, and it just tosses about. And then you go to the next stage. Ah, here you go. You know, praying in the spirit. This is B-52 coming up. And you go, you could even bomb the devil. Boom, 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 boom. Praying in the spirit. Ah, I mean, various kind of tongues. And then you go into groaning in the spirit. My, this is Boeing 747-400. And you go, boom. And it seems to go in different realm. But worship in the spirit. It's the space shuttle. And it goes very fast, just straight up. And you will find the difference of entering the realm of the spirit so effective if you could worship in the spirit. And I found this, that just 5 minutes of worship in the spirit brings a certain atmosphere to the whole congregation that praying in the spirit may take an hour to get. But of course, it has its place in warfare. So we don't neglect. But we need to understand the impact of worship in the spirit that we could move into. And worship in the spirit has a lot. If you notice, let me just describe a little bit of worship in the spirit. You notice that sometimes worship in the spirit sounds like a river. Right? You notice. And sometimes it sounds like warfare. Right? There are different realms of worship in the spirit. And there's so much that we could move into, and it's a tremendous realm, worship in the spirit. So these are all the wonderful realms in the spirit that we can move into. And tonight, what we're going to do as we conclude, is that we're going to have some time of praying in the spirit, and we may go into some of these realms of the spirit, worship in the spirit or whatever. And what I'd like you to bear most important in mind is especially to go on this what hang loose area and allow the Holy Spirit to place a burden. Usually the burden process comes forth a lot when you pray in tongues, where if God has a vision for you to do something and you just allow it. Now sometimes the first part of it, the first 10 or 15 minutes may be a lot of distractions, but just forget about it and determine to just pray forth. And in all air flights, you notice that the greatest energy needed is to take off. And so it's the same in the spiritual realm. Just to take off. A lot of friction, a lot of difficulty. But you take off. You just choose to take off. And then you move in the certain realm where He may begin to place things into your life and lead you. Now as you experience it, I'm going to conclude right at the end of this prayer session and describe what actually happened in the spirit so that we could understand it and move more into it in our private and our public life. Praise God. So let's stand together and let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Spirit who can guide and lead us into all truth. And Father, we realize there's such a wonderful realm that we have barely touched the fringe of the realm of the spiritual plane that you have for us to move into. And we know in the last days you're going to cause us to move more and more into the realm of the Spirit that you're designed for us to move into. And we realize, Father God, it's not a realm that we could not understand, but that if we could obey and flow, you would, by your grace, give us an understanding of that. We know that we are God of order and not a God of confusion. That we could flow in harmony, Lord, with your word and with your Spirit. Father, we give you glory and praise even this night. And we pray, oh Father God, that you continue to speak to the hearts and lives of each one of us, even as we pray for Father God. In Jesus' name. Let's begin by praying in the Spirit softly. Church, yes, if my people who are called by my name, if they will stand with their hands raised unto my very throne and offer unto me the praise and the worship that is due unto me. Yes, saith the Lord, you have looked at the enemy. You have looked at the circumstances. You have looked at what is before you and you feel like Jehoshaphat. And you feel that all the enemy is more and is insurmountable before you. But yes, save the Lord. I am the Lord your God who has fought for you. I am the Lord your God who is mighty in battle. And as my people lift my hands and offer me the worship, and if they will worship me in spirit and in truth, I will fight for them. I will fight for them. And all the enemy shall be turned back. And yes, you will go forth and you will harvest the spoil that the enemy leaves behind. Yes, I will pour forth even my blessings, my financial blessings upon your church, even as my people lift my hands. Lift your hands unto me. Those are my hands. Lift your hands unto me. And give me the praise and the worship. And I will turn the enemy back. I will turn the enemy back. And I will cause such blessing. Such blessing. Such blessing like you've never seen before, saith the Lord. Oh, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We praise you, Father God. We worship you, Father God. We worship you, Father God. And even now when God has given a word like that and you know that God is speaking about blessings upon the church, right now what we have to do, this is where you direct your worship, that's where you're visualizing. Where we lift our hands together, corporately together. And I want you to visualize the windows of heaven open unto the church and pouring us blessings. Blessings financially, blessings spiritually, blessings in every way upon the church. And it's a corporate thing together. With lifted hands before God, seeing the same vision, we all lift up our hands and we worship Him in the Spirit. Yes, thankful, Father. We thank you, Father. We know it's done. Praise you, Father. Let's give Jesus a good clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We 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 thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God, you may be seated. And you notice just now what happened was at first we went into tongues, and then that spirit of worship just came, and we moved into worship. And after that worship part, you notice there's a little bit of warfare in the spirit that we seem to go into. And then we move into an area of directed prayer. Now, if we have meetings just to pray in the spirit, every night is different. We have to be sensitive. Some nights it may concentrate on certain areas, but it's never the same every night. And just before I pass the meeting back to Pastor Philip, I just want to share a vision that I had about your church in December that I shared with Pastor Philip when I came and staying over at the Burswood, and I was fasting for your church I think it was on a Saturday, and as I prayed and I saw the church sort of net over the church, and as I prayed, I said, "Lord, what is that net?" And the Lord began to speak and said that as a new leadership takes over the church, that there will be new, different ways things are done. Things will be done differently, and different ways that things will be implemented. And sometimes the nets represent those who are not used to the new ways that will be implemented. But as I continue fasting, praying for your church, I saw the net slowly being removed. And it speaks particularly of your church. And I thank God that tonight the Lord continues to say that as you all praise God and worship Him, that you will see tremendous breakthrough in your church. But remember, the anointing remains the same, but the methods of each man will differ. So please differentiate between the anointing and the methods. And methodology will continue to change and flow as each one flows with the way God has dealt and taught them. But if you flow along, you're going to see God's blessings from the church here. Praise God. I just felt that I must share that. Praise God, Pastor Philip.